From the Operations Coordination Center, you're listening to Red Belly Radio. Hello, and thank you for listening to Red Belly Radio. I'm Steve Heiser. Now, with me today is David Newton, but his friends call him Fig. Fig, welcome to Red Belly Radio.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Now, I understand RNP does not stand for really nice passengers. Can you tell us a little bit about RNP?
Yes, it stands for...
Well, it does stand for really nice passengers, but you've been working on something called RNP.
No, it actually stands for Required Navigation Performance. For us, really nice passengers is really more accurate. But...
Now, what is this system?
Well, it's actually, it really is, a good name is a system because there's a number of moving parts associated with this that make RNP work on an airplane. There's a lot of aircraft pieces, there's pilot training pieces, there's operational approval. All this stuff comes together to make us capable of RNP operations, and we started that today, as a matter of fact.
You just flew the flight this morning. What was that flight?
It was flight 2703 from Dallas to Oklahoma City, and we flew the first revenue service RNP flight. It was aircraft 715, the 700 Shamu aircraft.
What's the difference of an aircraft with RNP and one without it?
Well, it's technology from the 50s and 60s allowed airplanes to track a particular course between two radio navigation aids. With satellite navigation, you can actually go point to point without actually having those ground-based nav aids. So it's not tied to that anymore. It's just tied to the satellites in the space. What RNP, though, adds to that type of navigation is something called alerting and monitoring. So it tells the pilots if their performance isn't sufficient because it comes from the satellites, not from the ground-based navigation aids.
So it is a, well, it's a computer device of some sort that sits in the aircraft and it talks to satellites and it improves your flight path.
Yes, that's pretty close. RNP navigation is, and it's really, if you take a step back from that, there's a kind of building blocks. There's something called RNAV that is really stands for Area Navigation. That's the satellite navigation. The system uses whatever's available to come up with a navigation solution. So it uses GPS satellites. It could also use ground-based nav aids to come up with accuracy of the airplane. The airplane knows where it is very well. The difference between that type of navigation, RNAV, and what we're doing RNP is it alerts the pilot if something's wrong. Since it's based on navigation from the satellites, there's a potential that the navigation performance of the airplane may get insufficient for where you want to fly. Every little portion of flight uses a little bit different navigation requirements to get where you're going. So that's a critical component to making RNP work within the airspace.
So if one of our really nice passengers were to get on board and ask the captain, hey, can I see your RNP? Could you show it to him, or is it just something built into the I'm going to use the word dashboard, and that's probably what you don't call it.
Yeah, we might call it a dashboard if we were talking to really nice passengers. And there's a lot of things you really won't see, but we do have new displays that are very obvious to pilots. But the average person looking in the cockpit will go, gee, there's a lot of stuff up there. But they're really not going to be able to tell. To us pilots, it's like, wow, there's some really new, cool things up here. But most of the system's actually behind that dashboard. It's tied into the computers within the aircraft that are part of the automation and the flight direction system. And that makes the airplane do all this RNP gee whiz stuff that we're talking about.
Now, this is only on our 737-700s, is that right?
That is correct, although we're in the midst of a project to update a significant number of the 737-300 aircraft.
Now, how long have you been working on this project?
A little over, about 3.5 years, actually. And it started in the summer of 2007, and really with a vision of some folks in flight operations made this come to fruition, and that's really Jeff Martin within Flight Operations, who's now the VP of OCC, and also Chuck McGill, VP of Flight Operations.
Well, they helped get this coordinated throughout the system, installed in all of our aircraft, but this is also something that has to happen at the airport, at each airport, right? There's another half to this piece. How many of our airports have that?
Well, there's about 11 airports that have what we call efficient procedures. There's a number of other airports, about another 11, that actually have RMP procedures that maybe not quite so useful to us that were designed. They're maybe a generation older, but it's not Southwest Airlines is designing those. It's the FAA designs them, but we are supporting them in trying to make them more efficient and more useful to us.
What now? Something that a passenger might notice when flying on an RMP flight is the descent down to the airport. Can you try to describe the difference?
A little bit. There's probably going to be, they might notice it that it's a little bit smoother. There's fewer descent stops. So as you're descending, rather than stopping, leveling off, and lowering and leveling.
Those are like I'll use it in layman's terms, like the stair stepping. You kind of take steps down.
Right. Instead of stair stepping, we're using the water slide. So there's fewer level offs. It should be generally smoother too, and more gentle turns. What happens in the terminal area or near an airport is we usually get vectored. Air traffic controllers tell us to fly a certain heading, and we use that until we get vectored towards the runway and get cleared for a particular approach.
Now, this will be conserving fuel.
Yes, absolutely. So that those step-down descents, when you level off, you have to burn more fuel to do that. So if you can do it in more of an idle descent path, then you could save fuel doing it.
So what kind of money might this save Southwest Airlines?
Well, we think with the procedures we've got, we'll save about $16 million a year. But we still have a lot more work to work on those other airports. Once we get this all constructed, we think it'll be in the neighborhood of $60 million a year savings for us.
Now, certainly some airports are more have busier airspace and therefore becomes a little more important. I'm not discounting the smaller markets of the world, but you can fly into Chicago Midway and you've got Chicago O'Hare not too far down the road there. That's a lot of airplanes in the airspace. This probably really helps in those markets.
It can, absolutely. The critical factor is how many flights we have into an airport, because what we're doing is saving a little bit of fuel on every flight, and if we can do that on every flight, then we can save much more money.
Certainly, we have a lot of flights in and out of Chicago. Are other airlines doing this? If we're going to be saving that kind of money, this is certainly a valid investment. Are other airlines getting in on this one?
Actually, most other airplanes and airlines are very capable of doing this, and most other airlines are pursuing this type of operations. They're just doing it more in a where train challenges provide a requirement to use this kind of stuff. We're trying to avoid, instead of avoiding just a mountain, we're trying to avoid airspace. And by doing that, we're trying to be more efficient. The more other airlines that do this, the more beneficial it'd be for Southwest Airlines, because though we can all participate. So we're actually hoping that other airlines will do this as well.
Now, we haven't been buying that many planes lately, but we have ordered some Dash 800s. And will these as they come off the assembly line from Boeing, will they just have this equipment on it, or is that an add-on?
No, actually, all the airplanes will be equipped to our standards, Southwest Airlines standards, that will support RMP operations.
You mentioned a lot of people, a lot of moving parts and everything. The pilots had to go through a training for this.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, every pilot went through four steps of training, and some of those steps had multiple events, simulators, ground school days. So it was quite a significant amount of training for the pilots. Additionally, dispatchers have received training. Maintenance folks have received training. So there's a lot of work to this.
Well, this sounds like a huge undertaking. You are a captain. You're an active captain currently flying, and this is something you've been doing, I won't say part-time, but you've been spending a lot of time on it.
Well, it keeps me off the street tonight, so the world is safer for that. But yes, for about 3.5 years or so, I've been working almost full-time on this.
Well, thank you so much for being my guest today. Could I get you to read that paragraph right there?
Well, that does it for this episode. Red Belly Radio is a trademark of the Southwest Airlines Company. This episode is copyrighted 2011. It is now time to conclude this podcast. Please turn off and stow all portable electronic devices.